You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
9 minutes past nine. Alrighty, let's crack in. Sport on the 28th of March, 2024, and we have an NRL round to rip into. Starting with a hiss and a roar tonight, this is just a tantalising matchup. Roosters, Panthers, 10 p.m. Whew! The Roosters, talk about hot form. They are cooking. Sam Ackerman is going to be, you'll hear him a lot more on this show in particular over the next wee while. He's a fantastic rugby league man. He cares about the sport passionately and deeply. Sammy, nice to talk to you this morning.
And to you, Louis. And before we move on, the media's had plenty of losses of late. And you know, losing someone who's got such a huge passion, a huge work ethic, great skill set, excelling in multiple roles, well-respected and really well-loved amongst their peers and colleagues, you know. So we're really going to miss your partner, Shannon. She's very talented. And you go all right too, mate. You go all right.
Yeah, look, it's not, that's not lost on me as well. Jeez. If I could write a dissertation about how well Shannon goes, I would. I promise you that, mate. She's a very special woman.
No, we love Sam, you, mate, and looking forward to having a yarn with you. And I know you're going to kick some more goals wherever you go and end up. And we all expect you back on SENZ in the very near future. But look, tonight, mate, honestly, tantalising is the word you used, and I like it. It is a game that I've had marked since I saw the Roosters play their first game of the season. I thought, geez, I really, really want to see how they go when they're marked up against a side like the Panthers. And it's a shame in that context that Nathan Cleary's not there, because it's so hard to call this one now. And that's great. An open contest is good. But I really wanted to see how they go in that regard, because they've got their premium and halves combination back, which is, again, excellent. And it's good to see that, you know, it's pretty much the first choice back line and largely the first choice pack as well. So the Roosters have been firing. They look hardened. They look like they've got their groove back after an unsettled 2023, where they still made the finals and they were still a threat. They just weren't the Roosters that you would expect to see with the skill they had. But look, the Panthers, you take out Nathan Cleary, it's a massive loss anyway, right? Take the best player of any team, take the best player in the game out of any sport. But look, Brad Schneider is not a proven force. And I'd say that if they still had Jack Cogger, who they had as their backup half last year, I'd say, oh, look, the Panthers will better pick up and go on. But he really hasn't seen that much first grade. And it's Jerome Luai stepping into that pure controlling role will be really intriguing to see. Look, you can't write off anything that happens with the Panthers. They are a very, very talented outfit with so much experience. But I'm leaning now towards the Roosters, and I just love the way they've been playing this year.
I think they've put the fear into the competition a wee bit, and it's kind of been a bit of a mystery as to why they can't do this every single year, the Roosters. But whatever the perfect storm that's happening down there is at the moment, they up there in Sydney, they are looking cherry ripe, I would have thought. And the bookies have them favourite, and they've actually tied them into $6 to win the grand final as it is. What is the difference? You've watched the Roosters this year. Is it personnel? Is it cohesion? Is it health? What's been the key difference so far?
Well, I certainly think having someone like Joe Suaalii have another year under his belt, he's coming into his prime just as he's about to go and catch a cold playing for the Wallabies. But getting some guys into the form that they need to be, I think James Tedesco was a man under immense pressure last year, and he doesn't look like that this year. It doesn't look like the Roosters think they need to hinge everything they do on Teddy. So I think that's been a major step forward. But it's also settled. They've had a coach in Trent Robinson who knows what to do. He knows how to win premierships on both sides of the globe, and he didn't panic. He didn't go and say, we're going to go, we have to be the Roosters of old and go buy 10,000 new signings to bolster this. Look, they got a handy one in Dominic Young, but that was very locked in before last season even started. So I just think they're a settled side who know their roles, and they're not panicking, and the frustration levels that almost consumed them last year haven't been cited so far this year.
Okay. So, look, the Panthers are going to be okay. They're fine. They probably don't necessarily need this game. They go into a little bit of survival mode over the next wee while, but they've got... Although this is what I would have said about the Crusaders, and I was saying about the Crusaders coming into this year, they've just got an establishment. They have a process, they have a way of doing things in that building that you kind of suspect that they'll be fine. I'm not suggesting their bill of health is as bad as the Crusaders, but I'm just wondering, I think I agree with your sentiment that I'm starting to feel warmer and warmer about the Roosters tonight. I think this one probably just sets up better for them. If we go through to the Rabbitohs Bulldogs tomorrow night.
Just before we do, yes. If you're watching the game as a casual, haven't been watching it closely, keep an eye out for number 17 for the Panthers making his debut, yes. Maverick Geyer. Maverick Geyer, son of Mark, MG. And you can imagine with a name like Maverick and a dad like that, the guy has got certainly a bit of combustibility about him. So he's fun to watch. And so another son of a Panthers legend getting a run there too. So I don't know how massive his career is going to be, but geez, you've got to watch out for another MG, don't you?
Why was Mark Geyer $1.60 to name his son Maverick?
Because the bookies are being generous.
Yeah, it should have been $1.10. You're right. Some things just make sense, don't they? Damien Cook back for the Bunnies. So, what are they going to do here, the Bunnies? How do they start to find some gallop?
They're just intriguing in a car crash kind of way to watch at the moment, because you know how good they can be, you know how talented they are, you know the weapons they've got to unleash and the experience they have, but it is not working. They are in a similar spot to where the Roosters were last year, where you look and go, they should be running like Ferraris, but they're running like Fiats. Like, I don't know what's going on. I really think though that this might be the game that we see them come right. I mean, if you're not going to back the Bunnies at Easter, when are you, right? I mean, this is literally their time. The Dogs put on a big score against the Titans, but I'm prepared to say that Titans performance was among the worst, perhaps the worst, I've seen in the last 5 years. They were just dreadful on attack, had nothing, botched a certain try, and on defence were shirt grabbing, held back. I think any team in the comp would have put that score on the Titans last week. So I think it's a little bit of a bluff for Doggies fans, unfortunately. I don't know. I feel like that may have lulled them into somewhat of a false sense of security, and it's time. The Bunnies can't keep misfiring. It just can't keep happening. So I think that we're in for a statement performance from Latrell Mitchell. This feels a bit big occasionally, and hopefully he steps up.
Wow, Latrell. I mean, he's a complicated character, isn't he? I feel like we can probably just move on, because I want to talk Cowboys. I want to talk Cowboys, who for some reason just feel like they're the sexy pick every single year. And I guess they're going to be that again, because, well, they've started with a hiss and a roar, and I think any team that runs up 46 points is going to get a lot of plaudits. And then they go to the Broncos. So there's obviously going to be a lot of feeling in this one. I've got to be honest, I was surprised that the Cowboys are starting favourite. I mean, it's pretty short, $1.79 versus $1.97. There's not a lot of space. I mean, is this one of the hardest games to tip of the round, do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I think the Cowboys, they're playing a style, three wins, right? At this stage of the season, you can get very hung up on they're 3-0 or they're 1-2, whatever they've done. It's really about the intent and the style they're playing, and the style that the Cowboys are playing is flashy. There's lots of beautiful play, and they've inside runners off the back of sweeping wide movements. It's poetic sometimes what they're putting out. But it's also, it takes a bit of grit too. Like you mentioned, those 46 points. But they were down 18-4 against the Dragons, who looked like they're picking up a bit of momentum. That was in the first half. And they came back to take the lead before halftime. So they did. They it wasn't a gradual pull yourself back up. They went, no, snap out of this. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna take back control. And they did it with the bang bang theory rather than the slow burn. So I've been really impressed with what they have. They've got a very, very, very underrated spine. I think Reece Robson's arguably the form hooker in the comp right now. Chad Townsend, or his fans know that he can go, but he's really stepped up. He dragged four Dragons defenders across the line to score in the weekend. Tommy Dearden, the captain's particularly impressive at the moment, and Scott Drinkwater back again, someone that you can't really sleep on. He is. They may not be the superstar names, but geez, they're getting the job done too. So I really like them. I think that the reason that you'll find the Bronx so far out as far as the ability to get this one done goes, first of all, Cowboys have had a great record at playing at Suncorp in recent years. They've really overtaken, shook off that little brother tag to really make sure they step up for this game. The loss of Reece Walsh is a big one in the context that Reece Walsh is someone that they could turn to help turn a game. You can't keep him out of a game. Tristan Saylor, another son of a great, and Wendell is at fullback, and he's a very handy player, but he's no Reece Walsh. And there will be a higher expectation placed on other players within that squad to make something happen. Adam Reynolds comes back from injury. At his age, coming back from the type of injuries, the hamstring style injuries, that's holding him back, can be slow and gradual. And just look at Sean Johnson. I say this respectfully. He obviously hasn't been doing a lot of the goal kicking because he's making sure he nurses his body and takes care of it in a way that needs to, no extra pressure. Adam Reynolds could fall in that category. He needs to come back because the team needs him without Walsh and Payne Haas as well. So it is an intriguing game. I'd certainly lean towards the Cowboys. They are going just too good to ignore.
Really interesting where the Broncos are at. I follow your theory there. Hey, speaking of Mark Geyer having a $1.60 quote to name his kid Maverick, what price would you have set Reece Walsh at to have a tattoo of 69 on his ribs? And don't actually bet into this market because he does. I saw a photo of it the other day. There's some things that just make sense yet again. He's a interesting kid, Reece Walsh, isn't he? He's got plenty going on upstairs, I reckon.
When it's coming with apparently a $1.1 million per season price tag with a new 5-year contract, he can... Jeez, I'm not going to sit here and take shots at the kids. He does have a lot going on upstairs. You talk to people who had spent extended periods of time with him. It is interesting insights. He certainly has... he's an absolute freak of nature. With the ball in hand, I think his temperament's got so much to go still, as does his toughness. Not talking about the knock to the eye that'll take anyone out. I'm saying that in games that I still feel he needs to be prepared to put his body on the line or make that get there to make that tackle rather than do the run to make it look like he did. But you know, that's nitpicking over a guy who will be remembered as potentially a generational talent. So yeah, mate, wow. when you got it you can flaunt it, I suppose. And if someone tells you that comes out your backside doesn't stink for long enough, most people end up believing at some point.
No, you're right. Athletically, he is freakish. It's kind of the way he can get to top speed over about 8 steps, it's pretty scary. He's got that real top-end speed, doesn't he? Hey, do you reckon Dragons fans should be able to invoice the club to be fans?
Listen, the Dragons are a team that I don't have a lot of personal time for. They're my brother's team, so I've grown up hating them all my life, right? I've got to say, they've been hot and cold this season, but when they've been hot, they have looked really good, and they really didn't. They shouldn't have come close to the Cowboys. They shouldn't have, you'd say in the scoreline and the end they didn't, but they really took a fight in a situation where the Cows were in charge, and they fought their way back into that game. To show a little bit of resolve there. But they come and they go, but there's enough to suggest that this could at least be a season that Dragon fans can enjoy watching the performances of their side. But, yeah, geez, it's they've been one of the most punishing teams to watch for a number of years. So at least they're not retaining that skill set of we will play at 80 minutes. We'll technically be in a contest, but you will get no thrill or joy from what we're about to do. They've scrapped that. They've got some players with real ability like Sloan and like Lomax as well. You know, they've got real real fun to watch type of players. Even if you want to hate them, they're still great to watch. So I think the Dragons can be, and I can tell you, as growing up a Manly fan when I was a kid, I can tell you this, there's definitely a bit of spite within these games. I think Manly really let an opportunity slip last week against the Eels, but yeah, they've shown that they can be competitive in all scenarios right now, and I definitely will like them to take on the Dragons. But yeah, I'm not expecting a banner year from them, but Flanagan, I've got to give him his due. He's done enough to make this team look like they've got a bit of punch about them.
I'm not too interested in the Gold Coast Dolphins game, so we'll go straight to the Warriors. Look, we've got some very important information here. RTS to fullback, Pompey, Walker, and Niokore to return. Now, the Knights get a hard-fought win over the Storm, which could be quite a handy form reference for them if they could back it up and push the Warriors close. We're going to go out favourites, rightly so. But this is going to be a game well worth watching, isn't it, Sam, for a variety of reasons?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like these two teams have built up, I wouldn't say a feud or a rivalry, but there's seems to be some kind of parallels between them. We know they met in that incredible home playoff for the Warriors last year, and they kind of seemed on that collision course for so long there. I think there's still some people who see the one team's got the Dally M winner and the other one's got the real Dally M winner. And it's there feels like there's this kind of correlation between the two. I've always respected the way the Knights have got some ticker, and man, they had some ticker against the Storm. That was a great performance by them. They've got a lot going for them. Smart plays, smart decision making. They are not to be taken lightly. Yes, the Warriors at home, and yes, they should be able to get up. They should be able to get up against the Sharks too. It's that kind of comp, though. You can't write them off. The Warriors are favourites, deserve to be favourites. Love the way they've played over the last couple of weeks in particular. So I expect them to go stronger. I mean, who's not interested in seeing how RTS is going to go at fullback? Every man and his dog who enjoys rugby league is going to want to see how he goes with extra space. He looked good in the second half when Tane Tuapiki was off with concussion for the Warriors. A full game there, it might test his fitness and endurance levels a little bit too, but he's Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He seems made to wear the number one jersey. That said, I think he's been going really good at centre. And I think that the desire to see him and Chance Nicol-Klokstad when he's back fit on the same field, I know there's a lot of people out there that want to see number one. And Webby we trust. Has he set us a foot wrong with selection yet? And in my regard, he's made it so clear. I think he's been really straightforward and up front going, it's for one game, enjoy it. We're giving it to you because we need to, and now we're going to move him back to centre. That's where he wants to be. It's where I want him. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it is. I'm actually stoked for Adam Pompey as well. The guy played every minute of every game last season.
That's
and
right.
Barely put a foot wrong. Barely
He's
put
a
foot wrong. And,
yeah.
And here he is getting his getting a run, which, again, barring in some kind of unforeseen circumstance, is a little return to the NRL rather than the start of a good run. So that's the depth that the Warriors got to lean in here. And listen, the player I'm looking forward to seeing the most, and I think can have the biggest impact compared to as far as a position change goes this year, is Marata Niokore. I think that him and the playing in the middles in those trial games, he was explosive. Like Fekipalia Sina run through people. How does a middle have that kind of pace and energy type of run? Now, it was just the trials. It was just the Tigers. I'm not getting ahead of myself. That's how he looked in that game. I can't wait to see how he looks in the NRL. He's obviously come back from injury, so not expecting him to hit top pace straight away, but really intrigued with how he goes. He brings a new dynamic that they need, and obviously with the forwards being the way they're stacked, I think we've got some really good options in the middle. But no one with that explosiveness. And if Niokore can bring that, then that is a real, real asset to this team.
Well, can we finish with this then, Sam? We'll conflate these two because the Tigers touched up the Sharks last week. I've got to say, I couldn't have seen that one coming. So they get the Eels and the Sharks get a Raiders side who were really good for long patches in Christchurch.
Sharks versus Raiders is going to be some contest. It's also very likely going to be bowling shoe ugly. Like these two, two teams, they just love to grab you by the scruff, pull you down to the ground. Like they don't, you know, if they're a UFC fighters, they're ground and pound, right? They're not people that want to come with flashy offense. They bring you down into the muck and they say, good luck. You're going to get out? let's see, and they both play that style. They've got some talent. They know how to score, but they're just both such battlers and competitive. I think it'll be a real intriguing contest that I'll tip the Sharks for. But I mean, you can never write off the Raiders. They're just, you know, Ricky Stewart just doesn't allow that to be part of their DNA to give up a battle. But Eels Tigers on Monday, I'm really looking forward to that. Both teams can go. Both teams can play. You have to be in need of some kind of psychological assessment of your hatred of the Tigers if you didn't enjoy watching the way the Tigers played last week. I don't think they're going to go like the Warriors last year. I don't think they're going from 17th to playoffs. But I think what you saw through the style there, that they'll be this year's team that your average punter in the NRL will want to see succeed. So if they get a bit of a run going, they'll be the team that everyone really enjoys watching doing something completely unexpected this year. So I'm hopeful, but yeah, the Eels are at home, and it's tipping the Tigers, even after that win, feels a little premature yet. But certainly set for I love an Easter Monday game. Though we absolutely love an Easter Monday game, so can't wait for that.
Benji Marshall has just taught, and well, I guess he's the latest example of what happens when you're authentic. Like, authenticity always wins. And there's no better way to pick up momentum as a sports club, as an athlete, as whoever, whatever, of just being yourself. And the way he dealt with the media last week was just a masterclass. And I think because of that, he's going to get a lot of people that want him to do well. And if the Tigers start going well, I completely agree with your sentiment. They could pick up a little bit of a bandwagon. So that'll be fun to watch. Sam, all the best, mate. We will hear from you a little bit more on the show over the next few hours. He's going to help out Smithy and Brian, which will be fantastic. So lots of NRL tipping to come. That's good news. And you have a good weekend with the family.
Mate, will do. Best of luck with your trips, mate. It's quite intimidating feeling your big shoes. I'm talking metaphorically because I'm guessing you got small shoes. But it's a looking forward to being average. Part of the the Mornings with Smithy's team. And mate, you've left a benchmark that the rest of us will strive to keep up to, mate. Congratulations, and good luck with everything to come, bud.